On Aspire with Emma Greed, I sit down with people who don't just dream big, they build big. From Mark Cuban to Mel Robbins, we talk about mindset, ambition, and the work that actually moves the needle. Listen to Aspire with me, Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast available now.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL, Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long, and on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line from Louisiana. First news out in Baton Rouge, Chessa Boucher. Chessa covers everything going on at LSU. And so before we get into women's basketball, Chessa, I know you got to hear Coach Kiffin. Your comments about Coach Kiffin, who I thought really, when he was asked a question, he didn't just answer it and go to the next question. He kind of did a Bobby Hebert and went into a long answer with him.
Yeah, Lane Kiffin is an interesting guy. I don't really know what I was expecting out of him before he got here, just because he either seems to be like you absolutely love him with the media or you hate him. There's no real in-between. And so we were like, which Lane Kiffin are we going to get here? I feel like he's been a lot more in-depth and just kind of said a lot, which is surprising. I thought that maybe he'd be a little bit reserved, especially in spring ball. Who knows? It might be a little different once the fall rolls around. But I loved his response about Tre Des Green, talking about his elite skill set, which is no surprise. I covered Tre Des Green in his senior year at Zachary High. But yeah, Lane's been interesting to cover. I know we're not going to get a ton of media coverage during the spring, but so far, it's been good. I'll be back out there on Thursday to get some more. But yeah, Lane's he's interesting. He likes to keep everybody on their toes, needless to say.
Yeah, Chessa, you do a good feature with that, riding around in the car. I would do it if I don't get car sick, you know. But, depends on who's driving me. You know what I mean?
I feel that. Some coaches around here, we have not done ride along since then because their driving record probably is a bit spotty.
That's a great line. Our NCAA tournament update here on WWL is brought to you daily by Kia of Covington, Louisiana's number one volume dealership. Chessa, now LSU women's basketball, they played Duke, and they played them earlier in the year with a W. You played college basketball, and playing a team twice, and what you get out of that. Now, I know the one thing with Coach Mulkey, she is as thorough can be. But she's always said something to me and also to you about experience when he gets to Sweet 16 or the Final Four, how big that is. And this team doesn't necessarily have that ingredient part to it that she would like. I think she'd like to have more of it, to be honest. But she's put in a lot of young ladies that have seen playing time. How do you see the matchup here against Duke?
Yeah, you talked about it, and I even asked Coach Mulkey, like, going into the second-round matchup against Texas Tech, I was interested to see how that game would unfold because Texas Tech had 11 veterans on that team. They had one freshman and one sophomore. The rest were juniors and seniors. And Kim was like, yeah, experience is huge, blah, blah, blah. But then, I mean, you go up and you hang 101 points on them like it ain't nothing, but I think it starts with the defensive end. This team is playing their best ball as of late. I think that they really took a bit of they took it personally when Texas Tech was talking about how they're one of the best defensive teams in the country. And LSU was like, do you think you're that good on defense? Let us show you what we can do as well. And it really translated by far their best defensive outing of the season. And that's how their offense flows so well. Going against Duke again, Coach Lawson is known for having great defenses there at Duke. She was a great defender when she played at Tennessee under Pat Summitt. I do kind of like the spiciness of this is Flajae Johnson's senior season. She wants to go out with another national championship. And there's some, I don't want to say bad blood, but because she played under Coach Lawson and the USA team this summer and Coach Lawson didn't play her as much as she felt like she should play, she had a lot to prove when they played Duke there in Durham. It wasn't a close ball game at all. I love that Flajae now has the potential to knock Coach Lawson and Duke out of the Sweet 16 and send them packing. So I like the spiciness of it. This matchup, though, it's interesting. The start of the season, everybody thought it was going to be a top 15 matchup. Duke, eventually, they were a top 15 ranked team, and then they struggled out of the gate and actually weren't even ranked when they played against LSU. But they've turned things around, kind of right the ship the right way, winning the ACC regular season title and then plus the tournament title, and really been on a tear as of late. I expect this game to be a more defensive-minded ball game, not a ton of points. But, yeah, it should be interesting, especially with, like I said, the Flage. Anytime you have anything personal and you have, you know, an Elite Eight on the line because of this matchup, makes you want it even more. And Flage's been, man, she's been outstanding the past two ball games, and 24 points in 24 minutes in her last home game at the PMAC. You can't really ask anything more from her. So I'm very intrigued with how this matchup kind of goes down. But you have to get a lot of credit to the scouting report, and that is Bob Starkey. He is a defensive genius, and he has gotten under this team's skin of saying, hey, y'all really need to no rebounds, no rings, and defense is going to win you a natty. And they're really believing, and they're all bought in.
One of the things you brought up about Flage, and you covered her for 4 years, the impact she's had on the court and also off the court. A lot of people, man, you know, they want to tear apart an athlete. And sometimes, you know, you think about when, you know, we were 20, 21, 22 years old. We did some dumb stuff. I still do them today, and I'm a little older than that. What she did to give back to the community. And so you got to cover her for all 4 years. A little bit about Flage before we move on, because I think it's so important that she is really one of the signature players in the history of LSU's women's basketball program.
Oh, absolutely, without a doubt. And, of course, she won the national championship as a freshman. But she does so much on and off the court. And I'm not talking about her career. I mean, there's a reason why she won the KYAL Dancer Award. It was the inaugural award just last week. They named her the first ever award recipient, and I think that speaks volumes. And Bob Starkey even said it best. She didn't just start doing this and giving back to the community. When she got to LSU, she made it her mission that she wanted to impact not only the Baton Rouge community all over the country, and even more so in Savannah, Georgia, her hometown. She ended up, I think they said she ended up paying for multiple mammograms for women to try to get ahead of breast cancer, and just did stuff like that throughout her community. She's done that here in Baton Rouge, and she is just a phenomenal person on and off the court. And it's genuine, and it's not for show. She's not out there doing it to make sure that everybody sees her. She truly wants to give back because she knows that she has been blessed, that she is gifted. She's earned everything that she is basically received in her life, and she wants to give it back. And I think that's what really is so amazing to watch, just the impact that she has on people and her personality, her smile. It is infectious. She just has that it factor of you want to be wherever she is because she brings that light. And it's been phenomenal covering her all 4 years. She's truly so real and genuine that it's hard not to love her because she is so just amazing. But she's an incredible athlete, and she does so much. I mean, I couldn't imagine rapping and then going and, you know, having practice and then also having, you know, her coach who she has on the side who helps her with her shot. And I mean, there's so much to what she does that I'm like, man, she truly is a professional on and off the court. And she's going to have a phenomenal career in the W, and I can't wait to see what she does.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.
Take Flage Johnson out of the loop. The most important player that has to step up, Sweet 16 and beyond for LSU.
Man, that is a hard question. I go back and forth. Obviously, me being 5'2 and a former point guard, I think it's always important to have a solid point guard. I think Jada Richard has been absolutely phenomenal in her sophomore season. I even asked her, you know, have you taken a step up defensively? And she chuckled and basically was like, yeah, Coach Mulkey said if I didn't, I wasn't going to get playing time, and that was enough to light a fire. I love the way she defends. I think her footwork is just beautiful to work. I mean, you would understand that, especially knowing what you know about offensive linemen and technique and all of that. It's very similar when it comes to the point guard position. So to me, that's what I think. But I think for this team to be successful, I think Jada is always consistent. I think it comes down to Mikayla Williams. I think if Mikayla can play her game and be consistent, because the games that LSU has lost this season, it's either Mikayla or Flage, one of their two, are not having as much production as they need to. Obviously, you have a lot of players that can score the basketball, but there are little things that need to be done as well, and both Flage and Mikayla do that. If it's not a deflection and you start a fast break and then you end up with an easy bucket, I mean, there's just so many little things that these two veterans really bring to the table. So for me, I think it's Mikayla Williams. If she's clicking, like she, especially the way she has to start this tournament, that I think this team is scary and they're hard to beat.
Chess, I want to go back to what you were saying earlier about having already played Duke. I remember the last time we had Coach Mulkey on, it was right before the first game of the SEC tournament in the quarterfinals where they played Oklahoma as that 4-5 matchup. And LSU had just beat down Oklahoma a couple weeks before that matchup. And I had asked Coach Mulkey about the importance of having played a team before in that position. And I know that with Duke, it's a little bit different. The Cameron Indoor game was all the way back in December. So obviously both teams have changed a little bit since then. But the importance of familiarity with your opponent once you get into March Madness and get into the NCAA tournament and get even to the Sweet 16.
Yeah, it's a lot different. I mean, in the regular season, you're playing games, but you're also trying to be smart about your roster. You're trying to make sure, you know, are we fatigued? Do we need to go, you know, maybe not full court press the whole ball game because they need to save their legs. It just depends on kind of what you've been through in the process. Now with the NCAA tournament, everything is on the line. Everything is off the table. You're putting all your cards in. And so to me, I just think it's hard to beat a team twice, but I think for, especially against the Oklahoma squad, I think they match up better because they always seem to get at Reagan Beers and she gets into foul trouble and then they can light you up from outside. And that's what LSU did in the SEC tournament there in Greenville. And also at home, they played one of their, I would say, more collective all around games against Oklahoma at home. So to me, it's how does LSU match up against Duke? It's easy to say on paper because these two teams are totally different. They're completely different now. You have, I mean, Kim has realized that Mikayla Williams, you can move her from playing the two or the three guard down to the four and really puts a lot of pressure on these power forwards who don't face someone who has all of the skill set. I mean, Mikayla Williams can make a lot of people look silly as guards that are quicker and faster. When you put her against girls that are maybe not used to going at her speed and then she can pump fake and blow right by you and do a beautiful Euro step and lay it in with ease. So there's a lot of different variations. I think also with Zakiya Johnson, she's really coming to her own. She started off strong, had a little bit of a lag throughout the season, but she's kind of found her footing as well. She came in to play the three-guard position. Kim has moved her down as a four as well. So Kim can either go small ball and try to see if they want to just kind of run and gun you down the stretch, or if she wants to go with a bigger lineup, especially with what we saw from post play in the first, or actually in the last game against Texas Tech. It was really impressive to see Kate Koval and Amaya Joyner play their best ball because that's kind of been the knock on this team is that post play is not to the level that LSU needs it to be to win a national championship. But both of the post players had double-doubles. They were physical. They were in your face. They were huge. They really set the tone inside and kept Texas Tech from really scoring. They didn't have a single paint point in the first half. I don't think that'll be the same effect against Duke, but I also think that it'll be definitely challenging for Coach Lawson's team trying to get inside. So I think that brings another element that maybe LSU hadn't quite had for a majority of the season, and now they're clicking at the right time.
All right, Chessa. I'm not going to deal you an ace and a 10 on here, but tell me what's going to happen with LSU's men's basketball coaching situation.
Oh, I wish I had the money to tell you that, because I am not sure. I think Matt McMahon is a nice guy. He is, I don't want to say fun to cover because obviously the outcome, but he's always been gracious to me. He is very respectful. I just don't think that he is an SEC coach, and it's not a knock to him. It's just what we've seen from this program. I will say it was impressive that this team didn't give up, especially in the back half of the season with the outcome of the wins or the lack of wins in the majority of the losses. So I think that says something, but I think when you give him, I think they paid either $8 or $9 million on this roster. I understand that you had Jalen Reed go down with an injury, and then your starting point guard goes down as well. But you have to have some type of depth, and he just hasn't had – it was like either he had a really good, talented post player and he didn't have great guard play, or vice versa. It just never seemed to be the right mixture of the roster. And so to me, I just think there needs to be somebody else come in, and but who do you bring in? I would love – and I know Tiger fans would love Will Wade to come back. I don't see Will Wade saying, I'm going to come back here and be second fiddle to Lane Kiffin or second fiddle to Kim Mulkey or second fiddle to Jay Johnson, because that's where a lot of the money and all the focus is. I just don't see Will Wade coming back here. But I think that Matt McMahon, if you put him out there for another season, you're going to get the same result.
Tessa, that's why we got you on. You give me a good answer to anything I ask you. And no, you more knowledgeable about it than 99% of the people listening, because you played college basketball.
Yep.
You understand what coaching, and you know, you got recruited. Well, I think you were trying to recruit Coach Mulkey. I'm not sure about Coach Mulkey recruiting you.
Her. She was not about me. She's like, girl, you shoot the ball too much.
Jess, thanks so much for joining us. I really appreciate it. You always do a great job. Thank you.
Thank you all so much. Have a good one.
All righty. Jessa Boucher from Louisiana and First News out in Baton Rouge. Always opinionated, always does a great job.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.